Good afternoon, brothers and sisters, girls and boys. What a blessing it is that we may come together for the second time this day to join in worship of our triune God. Especially welcome to all members and visitors and guests who have joined us in worship this afternoon, but also those who have joined us via the live stream. May the preaching of the gospel direct our hearts and minds in faith and trust to our Saviour Jesus Christ, and cause us to live our lives in thankfulness to the praise of Him. Consistory has the following announcements. During the past week, we have been informed by Reverend David Pohl of Owen Sound that he has accepted a call which we extended to him to be sent out as a missionary to PNG. Needless to say that we are very thankful with his decision. An attestation has been requested by the Mark Vanilak family for the Free Reformed Church of Kelmscott, and we wish this family the Lord's blessing as they settle in their new congregation. We've received an attestation from the Free Reformed Church of Albany for brother and sister Colin and Melissa Klein with their two baptized daughters, Amberly and Charlotte. We welcome this family in our midst. Brother Oakley Boris de Snoo and Sister Kiara Marie Old have indicated their intentions to enter into the marriage state according to the ordinance of God. They desire to begin this holy state in the name of the Lord and complete it to His glory. If no lawful objections are brought forward by the end of this month, the wedding ceremony will take place, the Lord willing, on Saturday the 20th of Feb at the Araluen Botanical Gardens at 1 p.m. with Reverend D. Poppy officiating. Due to the present COVID-19 restrictions which are still in place, attendance to the wedding is by invitation only. We receive word from Albany that Reverend H. Alkemar has received a call from the Canadian Reformed Church in Chilliwack, British Columbia. The family of our late sister Dina Plug has requested us to inform you of the following funeral arrangements. This coming Monday, that is tomorrow evening, there is an opportunity to offer you condolences to the family in the Free Reformed Church of Kelmscott at 7:30 p.m. During the course of the evening, Reverend Veltman will have a brief meditation. A family service will be convened, the Lord willing, in the Free Reformed Church of Albany on Tuesday, the 2nd of February 2021 at 11 o'clock in the morning. The interment will take place at 1 p.m. at the cemetery, after which refreshments will be available in the Albany Church. This afternoon, our brother Andrew Volhuis will lead the worship service. But before we commence, let us sing together from Psalm 34, verse 4. Psalm 34, verse 4.
Thank you. If you are able, please rise to receive the greeting of the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In response to God's greeting, let us sing hymn 24, verse 1 and 2. Let us now make confession of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. We will do so using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which has been used for hundreds of years by Christians everywhere to set forth what they believe. Like the myriads of saints who've gone before, we also confess as follows. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. On the third day, He arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us now sing from hymn 24, verse 5 and 6. Let us now humble ourselves in prayer before God and ask Him to bless this worship service. our Father in heaven. Lord, we come to meet thee for the second time, Lord, as thy people. And Lord, it is a great blessing that we may know thee to be our God, that we may even call ourselves thy people. Lord, of our own accord, we would never have been able to search thee out. We would not have known thee. We would have been left in darkness. Lord, it is a wonderful thing that there has been a light that has come into this world that has enlightened people to their true condition. And Lord, we thank thee that Jesus Christ could be that light. Lord, that in the midst of time, at exactly the appropriate time, he could step onto the world stage and reveal himself as the greatest prophet. But not only the greatest prophet, also the long-awaited Redeemer, the promised Saviour. Lord, when he stepped onto the stage, he turned the world on its head, and it's never been the same. And so we could also confess in the Apostles' Creed, with all the Christians that have gone before, that we believe in him as our Saviour, as the one who came to earth. Lord, this world that we live in continues to resist and repel all efforts of that light to spread and influence them. And Lord, aided by Satan, they continue to attack thy people, to attack the church. Lord, we live in times where unprecedented things are taking place. But nevertheless, when we look back on world history, we see, Lord, that these attacks have been continuous and insistent ever since thou hast made mankind. Lord, we ask thee to be with us as we walk through life. We ask thee to be with the young people. Lord, they are just waking up to what life is all about. And there are very many distractions. Lord, we pray thee to be a God of the covenant to them, so that also the words that they hear from their parents, the words that they hear taught at school, and the words they hear in church may awaken in them a new spirit, a spirit that sees things differently, a spirit, Lord, that wants to serve thee. Lord, we pray thee to be with parents who have the task of also raising their children. It isn't easy. Lord, there are so many things that likewise distract parents from the things that really matter. Lord, so often as adults we pursue also material things. We pursue pleasures. We think about all sorts of things that are fed to us. We don't always open thy word. as often as we should. Lord, help us to remember that we have a great responsibility. And it's not just what we say, but it's what we do that matters. Lord, we thank Thee that there may be families and marriages that are still holding up how Thou intended it to be. And Lord, we also then can be thankful that two of the visitors that we see in church, Julian and Emma, have seen the importance of being married, of providing that stability, of reflecting in their life what it is that Thou requires from Thy word. So we pray Thee, Lord, as they also plan to get married later this week, to bless them in this direction that they're setting in their life. Lord, Thou hast promised that when people obey Thee, that Thou wilt bless them and love them and their children. And please do so, Lord, to also these two people. Lord, we pray Thee to be with the elderly amongst us. Lord, the elderly are often placed aside in a society that is very much focused on producing and consuming. Lord, but we know that the elderly have much to give. They have much wisdom and life experience. Lord, please be with them when slowly but surely their circumstances change as they get older. Be God to them, Lord, who loves them all the way to the end. And Lord, we ask Thee now also to bless us in our worship service. Lord, we thank Thee that we may stand still this afternoon at the great news of a deliverer. We thank Thee for this, Lord, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This afternoon's sermon was prepared by Reverend Jeevan Poptar, a retired minister of the Canadian Reformed Churches. The sermon focuses on Lord's Day 6 of the Heidelberg Catechism, which continues the second section of the Catechism, that of our deliverance. How we are delivered from the miserable and sinful state into which all people are born. But before we read from this Lord's Day, we will read from our Bible a passage that is relevant. After the Bible reading, we will sing Psalm 14, verse 1, 4, and 5. So firstly, let us read from Galatians 3, verse 6 to 14. And then we will also read from 3 verse 26 to 4 verse 5. Galatians 3 verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. And we'll also read from verse 26 to 4, verse 5. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way also, when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. So far. from Lord's Day 6. The questioner here continues to ask more about the mediator and deliverer that we so desperately need. Lord's Day 6. Why must he be a true and righteous man? He must be a true man because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which has sinned should pay for sin. He must be a righteous man because one who is himself a sinner cannot pay for others. Why must he at the same time be true God? He must be true God so that by the power of his divine nature he might bear in his human nature the burden of God's wrath and might obtain for us and restore to us righteousness and life. But who is that mediator who at the same time is true God and a true and righteous man? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. From where do you know this? From the Holy Gospel, which God himself first revealed in paradise. Later, he had it proclaimed by the patriarchs and prophets and foreshadowed by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law. Finally, he had it fulfilled through his only Son. After the sermon, we will sing hymn 20, verse 1, 2, and 4. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, what does the fool say? The fool says, there is no God. There is no hope. No gospel. There is no Lord. The fool says, I am my own Lord. But what does God say? What does the Bible say? The Bible says, first, there is a gospel. Second, there is a mediator. And third, there is a Lord. First, the Bible says there is a gospel. A holy gospel. The holy gospel. Gospel is an old English word that means good story. The Bible says there is a good story, a holy story, the holy story. And the Bible tells us this holy gospel. The good story begins in Genesis 3, verse 15. After the devil had tempted our first parents to sin, God said to the devil, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. That was at the same time a threat to the devil and gospel to the woman. That promise is called the mother promise or the mother of all promises. All the other gospel promises in the Bible flow forth from this original promise. And it's the first statement of the good news of salvation from eternal death. It was revelation, the first proclamation of the Saviour, the first mention that God was going to send someone to crush the head of the devil. Through this one, whom God would send, God's people would have the forgiveness of sin, righteousness, and eternal life. God himself was the first gospel preacher. All the preachers since have been repeating this mother promise. Ever since, preachers have been telling this holy, good story to people who have not heard it before, and to the established churches. Believers never tire of hearing of it. The holy, good story was told throughout the Old Testament. God had it proclaimed by the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God said to Abraham that all peoples on earth would be blessed through him. God made a covenant with Abraham. He promised him the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and eternal life. He said that he would be Abraham's God and the God of Abraham's descendants. So the big question is, who are Abraham's descendants? To whom does the gospel promise come? Who today has the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and eternal life because he is a descendant of Abraham? The Muslims? The Muslim population is growing, also in our country. Mosques are becoming part of the landscape. Muslims claim to be children of Abraham. Through Ishmael, they are. Remember Ishmael? Ishmael was Abraham's eldest son, born of the slave woman Hagar. The Muslims claim to be children of Abraham through Ishmael. So they claim forgiveness, righteousness, and eternal life through Ishmael. They believe that the gospel promise comes to them from Allah through Abraham and Ishmael. Are they right? The Jews are children of Abraham through Isaac. Abraham had another son through his wife Sarah. The Jews claim forgiveness, righteousness, and life through Isaac. They believe that the gospel promise comes to them from God through Abraham and Isaac. Are they right? There is a third group of people who claim to be children of Abraham and heirs of the gospel promise of forgiveness, righteousness, and life. That group are the Christians. We claim to be children of Abraham and heirs of the promise, not through Ishmael or Isaac, but through Christ. We claim that because it's what the Bible says. We read parts of Galatians 3. Galatians 3 speaks about Abraham, the believer. Abraham was a man of faith. He believed the gospel and so received what was promised: forgiveness, righteousness, and life. Galatians 3 verse 9 says that those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So all you need is faith any faith? It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe in something. No, not at all. Paul goes on to teach that one needs to believe in Christ. Galatians 3 verse 13. The blessings promised in the gospel, promised to Abraham and his descendants, come to us by faith in Christ Jesus. God said that he would bless all the nations of the earth through Abraham. Whether one is a descendant of Isaac, Ishmael, or neither, one receives the forgiveness, righteousness, and life promised to Abraham and his descendants through faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3 verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This gospel promise that God himself first revealed in paradise and then proclaimed through the promise he made to Abraham and his descendants was also preached by the prophets in the Old Testament. All the prophets pointed to Jesus Christ. They all spoke about the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and eternal life. They all said that one would have only these by faith in the Redeemer whom God had promised Adam and Eve in paradise, the Redeemer that would come. The sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law symbolized and foreshadowed the gospel. They were all reminders of the good news that God himself had proclaimed in paradise. And they were pointers to the coming Redeemer. Every time a lamb was sacrificed, the gospel was proclaimed, and the coming Christ was pictured. Throughout the Old Testament, God said, there is a gospel. There is good news. In paradise, through Abraham, through the prophets, the sacrifices, the ceremonies, through all of these things, God said, there is good news. Man, through his sin, brought upon himself guilt, misery, and death. But there is a gospel. There is good news of forgiveness, righteousness, and life for all who believe in Jesus Christ. What does the Bible say? The Bible says there is a gospel. Secondly, the Bible also says there is a mediator. A mediator is someone who comes between two parties that are at odds with each other. If two people are having an argument they cannot resolve, then they do well to use a mediator. Someone to come between them and effect reconciliation. We were at odds with God. Our sin put us at odds. We could not resolve the issue God had with us. Then God did something to resolve the issue. He sent a mediator. The mediator was his own son. Galatians 4 verse 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, to redeem us. The gospel that God himself first revealed in paradise and then had proclaimed by patriarchs and prophets, foreshadowed by sacrifices and ceremonies, he fulfilled through his only son. Now the mediator God sent was both God and man. What does the Bible say? It says the mediator is both God and man. God sent his son, born of a woman. The eternal Son of God was born of the Virgin Mary. He was of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary. Some deny that. They say that it would be too big a shame for the eternal Son of God to take real, true human flesh. They say that God, by a special creation, made the flesh of Christ in heaven, implanted it in Mary's womb, where it was nurtured, and after 9 months brought forth. They deny that Jesus Christ inherited any genetic material from Mary. That's a terrible heresy, for then our mediator would not be a true man. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says that Christ was a true man. The justice of God requires that the same human nature which has sinned should pay for sin. The Bible says that the Son of God took a true human nature upon himself. Look what the Bible all says in Hebrews 2. Verse 14. We therefore confess that Christ partook of the flesh and blood of the children. Acts 2 verse 30. He is a fruit of the loins of David. Romans 1 verse 3. Born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Luke 1 verse 42 says, a fruit of the womb of the Virgin Mary. Galatians 4 verse 4, we read that, born of woman. Jeremiah 33 verse 15, a branch of David. Isaiah 11 verse 1, a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Hebrews 7 verse 14, sprung from the tribe of Judah. Romans 9 verse 5, descended from the Jews according to the flesh. And finally, Hebrews 2 verse 16 and Hebrews 4 verse 15, of the seed of Abraham, since the son was concerned with the descendants of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brethren in every respect, yet without sin. Those words, yet without sin, are very important. For not only does the Bible say that the mediator is a true man, it also says that he is a righteous man. He had to be a righteous man because one who is himself a sinner cannot pay for others. Sinners only increase their debt with God daily. So a sinner could not mediate and bring about reconciliation. The Bible says that the man born of Mary was without sin. It says that we have a mediator who was like us in every way. He was even tempted as we are, except for sin. He never sinned. The Bible also says that our mediator is true God. God sent his son. He had to be true God so that by the power of his divine nature he might bear in his human nature the burden of God's wrath, and might obtain for us and restore to us righteousness and life. What does the Bible say about the mediator promised in the gospel and who came in the fullness of time? The Bible says he is a true man, a righteous man, and at the same time true God. In this way, he is in truth our Emmanuel, that is, God with us. This mediator, Jesus Christ, brought us back to God. We had strayed away, but he brought us back. Through faith in him, we have forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and life. He was the one God had spoken about in paradise when he first revealed the gospel. He was the one that the Old Testament spoke about. And in the fullness of time, he came, the Son of God, born of woman. We now come to our third point. There is a Lord. Who is Lord? The only mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ, whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. He is our Lord, our King, our Master. He is true wisdom, wisdom from God, heavenly wisdom. Worldly wisdom says you've got to figure out everything by yourself. Heavenly wisdom says, entrust yourself to the gospel and the mediator sent by God for the forgiveness of your sins and the restoration of righteousness and life. Through faith in him, we are righteous. He sanctifies us and redeems us. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he renews us and sanctifies us. He takes over our lives and reshapes us into his image. He redeems our lives. He makes us want to serve and love him out of gratitude. He exercises lordship over our lives. We confess him as Lord. The Bible says that Christ is Lord. He teaches us how to live under his lordship. The Bible teaches us that. The teaching of how to live under the lordship of Christ is summarized in a place like the Sermon on the Mount. It teaches us humility, mercy, peacefulness, and love. It teaches us to be slow to speak, to ensure our marriages are healthy, not to seek revenge. It teaches us how to pray, not to worry. Many things. If you want to read in a few chapters what the Bible says about living under the lordship of Christ, then the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 to 7, provides valuable reading. The fool says, there is no God. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, there is a God who is your Lord. There is a mediator. There is a gospel. Believe the gospel that says there is forgiveness, righteousness and life for those who are children of Abraham through faith in Christ. Believe in the mediator Christ Jesus for that forgiveness, righteousness and life. Submit to Jesus Christ as Lord. And if you do those things, what then? What does the Bible say? If you believe the gospel of Christ, believe in the only mediator, and obediently follow the Lord Jesus Christ, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that your sins are forgiven, that you are righteous in Christ, and that it will go well with you in this life and forever. Amen. Father in heaven, Lord, thou art utterly trustworthy. Thou art totally loving. And Lord, we could hear this afternoon about this. Even though our forefathers plunged themselves and all creation headlong into a dark abyss. While Satan gleefully looked on, thou did not leave us there. Thou made a promise immediately. A promise that provided for restoration, renewal, redemption, and at the same time, utter destruction and annihilation of Satan. And Lord, when we read through the Bible and look in the Old Testament, we can see all those fingers pointing forwards to that Redeemer that would make that promise become reality. Lord, we thank Thee for being true, for sending Jesus, Lord, who confronted Satan and death and conquered them. Lord, we may now continue to live on this earth with the Bible in our hands. And every time that we may have doubts, we can open it and look at all those prophecies and then compare them with all the things that happened when Jesus came. Every single last prophecy was ticked off as irrefutable evidence that this was the promised one. And if that wasn't enough, He did great wonders. He healed many. He raised people from the dead. Ultimately, He raised Himself from the dead. And Lord, so we are here now, thousands of years later, knowing that there was still another promise. The promise that He would come again. We've been waiting for a long time, but we know that this promise will also come true. And so we ask Thee to help us as we live our lives here on earth, to live a life that shows that Jesus is our Lord and Master, and that we are subject to Him in everything we do. It doesn't come easy. Our old nature, Lord, is one of our three sworn enemies, and it continues to assert itself. Lord, teach us to be wise in how we deal with our old nature. Teach us, Lord, to be careful with what we consume, with our ears and with our eyes, so that the old nature is not nurtured to grow strong. Instead, help us to make choices that starve that old nature, so that our new nature can get the upper hand. Help us to love each other, to have peace around us. Help us to be joyful, to be thankful, and to continue, Lord, to look forward to that time when Jesus will come again. We know it will come. We pray Thee, Lord, help us to be ready. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The collection this afternoon is once again for the mission work in PNG, and that will be taken at the door on leaving. In conclusion of this worship service, let us now rise and sing Psalm 150. Lift up your hearts unto God. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.